Welcome to CBJ in 30.
I'm sure this will be a real bonding experience. Maybe one day, one of you will even write a book about it in jail.
You give us 30 minutes, and we'll give you all you want to know about your Columbus Blue Jackets and the NHL.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Now, here's your host, who has a few opinions of his own.
Well, Lottie frickin' duh!
Bob McGilligan.
That's right, I'm back. So you can just bask in the glory of that, because this is a limited engagement. It is a summertime edition of CBJ in 30. I'm your host, Bob McElligott, and I need to tell you that this show is now being brought to you by Telhio Credit Union, where you can learn to believe in banking again. The Blue Jackets have had a great week so far, and it's not over. Not quite over yet, anyway. And then next week's going to be a big week as well. But let's just start with this week. As the NHL Awards show took place last night, it was combined with the NHL expansion draft. There was a lot of good news for the Columbus Blue Jackets in the last 2 days, and there was one bit of bad news. They lost a player to the Vegas Golden Knights. We all knew that would happen. We just didn't know what player it would be. That player was centerman William Karlsson. A little bit later in the show, I'll give you my thoughts on that and what it might mean for the Blue Jackets. But the awards themselves, well, the Blue Jackets were clear winners when it came to that. I was at the Bluestone last night in downtown Columbus. We had an awards show watch party. If you were there, thanks for coming out. It was a great time. If you missed it, you missed a blast last night. People were packed in there. Oliver Bjorkstrand and Boone Jenner came. I had them on stage. We would discuss some things during the commercial breaks of the show. There was a trip to Vegas given away last night, a chance to see the new uniform jerseys and order the new Adidas uniform jerseys. It was a fantastic time. And if you missed it, I don't mean to rub it in, but you shouldn't have missed it. But last night, it was just fun to watch the representatives of the organization that were in Vegas, and they were there because they were nominees for awards. And it actually started the night before last when Nick Foligno took home two different awards, the King Clancy Award for Leadership and the Mark Messier Leadership Award. He took them both home, deserving of both of those awards, not just for what he does on the ice, and he had such a great turnaround season this year, did Nick Foligno, but the fact that he and his wife Janelle also donated $1 million to Nationwide Children's Hospital here in Columbus and Boston Children's Hospital, the money to be split between the two hospitals for the work that they did when his daughter, Milana, was an infant. Right after she was born, she had a heart issue, and between the two hospitals, they took care of her. Nick and Janelle then took care of the hospitals, making sure that they'll be able to help a lot of other children before all is said and done. So he was recognized for that donation. He was recognized for his leadership. He was recognized for his play on the ice. It was all just rolled up into a ball, and he brought home two trophies because of all of those things. Jody Shelley was in Las Vegas, and he had a chance to catch up with the Blue Jackets captain.
You got two awards this show, and what an honor for you. I know you've talked about it a lot, but awards and leadership and contribution to the community, just tell us what that means to you.
It's a huge honor, obviously, just with everything that's gone on these past few days and this year, and just I'm so proud of the group. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, I don't think you get any of this if the group doesn't come together, and you're not a leader unless you can find a way to get guys to follow. So I'm really lucky that I got a great group of guys to do that with, and I'm really proud of where we've come as a group and an organization, and it's kind of pinch yourself when you think about it, especially in the light of Mark Messier and things like that. But I'm really proud of the award and all that comes with it, but I have to thank a lot of people for it. There's a lot of people I think about this time.
Nick, no one really knows the life of a professional athlete or what's happening in their world. People just see them when the camera's on. You go back a couple years, when your daughter Milana was born, you guys dealt with something that some parents will never understand. And you took that, and then you took the captaincy, and then you took the disappointment of last season all on your shoulders. Do you look back now and see yourself as a different man, and you got to be proud of just getting through what you've done with your family?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm proud of the fact that I think I've become a better person and a better player because of it. I think anytime you go through hardships, it's how you react to it and how you come out the other side. And I've leaned on a lot of family and friends and teammates, and this organization's been outstanding. And I've learned a lot about myself. And you know, I think you put it all into perspective, and you realize, you know, how much you care about this group, and you want to see this team do well. And I think the biggest thing for Janelle and I, with everything, with the contributions and the you know, the charity, is for all the people that don't know what it's like, there's a lot of people that do, and they maybe don't have the resources or the help that they need, and they should. And so we felt like it was our job to kind of give back because of hockey and what it's given us and the opportunities that we've had. Some other people don't. So I think we're really proud of that fact, that we've been able to help those people and people that may come across it in the future, and then, you know, try to give them a better outcome than maybe what's expected.
Was it your dad who said, "Be good to hockey and it'll be good to you"? I mean,
whatever.
It takes a while for that to make sense, but I mean, when you read that quote and look at what you've done, it really makes sense.
Yeah, you know what? It's probably the best advice I've been given in my life, really. I think it rings true for anyone in any profession they're in. You know, if you're good to your job, and you know, it'll be good to you if you have that really good relationship. And I've tried to do that. I know hockey can give you a great life, and you can meet unbelievable people along the way and do things. But it's about making sure that you're leaving behind something for other people to grasp onto and hold on to. And we're trying to do that in Columbus, which is an unbelievable city that knows a lot about that. So charitable in that city, and we're really proud to be affiliated with a city like that.
You picked up an award, as you mentioned, from one of the best leaders of any sport of any time. But what he did with the Rangers in '94, what you went through last year, and coming into training camp this last season, how did you find confidence? Because there had to be some area or some moments where you're like, "What's going to happen this season?" Now you're through it, and it was awesome. But how did you find the confidence?
I went right as basic as training. It's something I can control. And I remember just getting my mind around that and understanding that I need to do that part as best I can, so that when anything comes across, I know that I'm prepared for anything that comes. And so that was my main focus. It was so basic and so simple. And I came in and I had full confidence in the abilities that I have as a player. And I knew that if I trained hard, those would come out at the forefront naturally. So and then I think it's easier for guys to follow because you're doing it each and every night. And so I was really proud of that fact. And having a great group of guys, like I said, to do that with. And I'm really excited about what's ahead for this team.
Now, I know you've raised the bar. Your team has raised the bar. We talked to John Tortorella. He's chomping at the bit to get things going again. He doesn't want anyone to exhale. What is that now? I mean, that's not something you have to talk about. It seems like now that's kind of ingrained in you and your teammates.
Absolutely. I think that's the biggest thing I've seen, the growth in our team, is that with how great a year it was, I think in years previous we would all pat ourselves on the back and said, "Oh, great job, everybody. We'll see you next fall." And if you listen to everyone in their exit meetings and talking to them this summer, there's a disappointment still. You know, it's not good enough. It wasn't good enough what we did, and there's a hunger to do more. So I'm so proud of that fact, and I think that's what's going to carry us to another level here. And we know we got a heck of a job to do here. It's going to be a lot of hard work, and it's going to get even harder. But I think we have the group that's excited about that challenge and ready for it, and it's going to work through it.
And when you watch the Penguins raise the cup, what kind of emotions?
Oh, mixed emotions for sure. I think you know how well you played against them, but you know how thin the line is from winning and losing. And so I think for us, we're excited about the opportunity we have now to go forward and learn from what we went on this past playoffs and put that into good work here in the off season and get ready for a hard season again and be that team that can persevere through hard times in the playoffs and move on and around.
Well, Nick, you're a leader to all of us. Thank you for this. Enjoy your offseason. We'll see you in training camp.
Thanks a lot, Jody.
Jody Shelley with Blue Jackets captain Nick Foligno out in Las Vegas after he took the King Clancy and the Mark Messier Awards for leadership. Then we went into last night, and Zach Werenski was a finalist for the Calder Trophy, that going to the Rookie of the Year in the NHL. John Tortorella, a finalist for the Jack Adams Award for the Coach of the Year. And Sergei Bobrovsky, not only a finalist for the Vezina Award that goes to the top goaltender in the league, but also a finalist for the Hart Trophy, which goes to the league MVP. Well, Zach Werenski, not really a surprise, got edged out in his quest for the Calder Trophy by his good friend and Toronto Maple Leafs forward Austin Matthews. It was going to be hard to beat. I think in any other year, Werenski, with the numbers that he had, the offensive numbers as a defenseman, I think he wins that trophy, but not this year. There was just too much to overcome. And besides Austin Matthews, the other guy there was Patrick Laine from the Winnipeg Jets, who also had great offensive numbers. So it was one of those cases where probably the wrong year for Werenski to come into the league to have to compete with two guys like that. But nonetheless, he made it into the final three. He should be very proud of being in that category. And I think this guy has a lot of awards to win in this league before his career is done. I really do. I think the heck with the Calder Trophy. Let's start looking down the road at that Norris Trophy for the top defenseman in the league. I think someday that's going to belong to Zach Werenski. I really, really do. So he didn't win his award, and that was not good. And then the Jack Adams Award came up, and John Tortorella going up against Todd McClellan of the Edmonton Oilers and also Mike Babcock of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, Babcock, who got the Maple Leafs with a very young roster, youngest in the league, I believe, got them all the way into the postseason. And it was going to be a battle for Torts to win that. But Torts prevailed, and he got the award, well-deserved, the second Jack Adams Award he's picked up in his career. The other one was back with the Tampa Bay Lightning when he won the Stanley Cup in 2004. To me, there is no better coach, there's no better person, there's nobody that deserves this award more than John Tortorella. And he talked about his win after the show last night.
Did you have any expectation of winning this?
No, I really didn't. I mean, you got Mike Babcock and that team, what they've done, and Mac. And there's probably seven or eight other guys that weren't nominated there that had just as good a year. So as I said out there, the thing I'm most excited about, I'm standing in for an organization. And I'm just thrilled for our organization that we're there's a little bit of recognition going on in the off season for us. I hope it fuels us coming up to our next season, because had a hell of a year, but the hard stuff starts next season. So really good stuff for our organization. That's what I'm so happy about.
Given what you've been through here just the last few years, the Vancouver stuff, taking a year off, coming to Columbus, does this feel different in any way than the 04 one?
I don't even remember the 04 one. It was so long ago, I don't even remember it. Well, I remember the cup, and well, it's been, you know, I've done some things here prior to this opportunity that's been very well chronicled that I regret doing in Vancouver and along the way. But you just try to learn. Portsy, you've been with us all year long with our team. I learned a ton from our players the past couple of years. I hope they've learned from me, but I think I've learned more from them. So you're always trying to progress as a coach, and I think sometimes I get pigeonholed and on this and that. I try to block that out, and I just try to go about my business and stay current with the game and what you have to do with your players. And it's been very rewarding with these guys.
2-point improvement from last season. Can you look at this and say this is maybe your best job that you've done with the team?
You know what? I had a pretty good goalie. I'm not going to give it all to Bob. We have a hell of a team. I really like our team. And a coach is just a guidance counselor. We get way too much credit when we win, and we get way too much credit when we lose. So this is about the players. And as I said out there, we've got a good group of guys. So I'm thrilled for them.
You talk about players a lot. Getting something like this, does that make you think back to coaching influences that you had when you started out or anything?
You know, I was very fortunate to, you know, when I started as an assistant coach working under John Muckler, who now resides in Naples. I talked to him before the playoffs. He mentored me for 6 years, and I learned a ton from him. I worked under Rick Dudley, one of the hardest working guys I've ever seen. A number of years with him, Jim Schoenfeld. I was hanging with Glenn Sather as we were in New York. So I think as a coach, you kind of have your philosophy, but when you're an assistant coach, and I was an assistant coach for a number of years, you kind of pick and choose what you think fits for you as you watch those guys. I'm very fortunate to have been able to be an assistant coach under some pretty great people.
Cool.
John, anything on this Vegas madness? What do you think about the new team? What do you think about the city?
Well, the city, it's way too hot, first of all. But, I'm not sure if that's going to be a team, because I think George is going to be doing a few things along the way. We'll see. It's great for the league. You see the turnout here. A little worried about if we come in here a few days before we have to play them, what's going to happen. But it's great for the league. And George McPhee, I don't know the owner. I know George pretty well. You're in good hands. He's a good man and a solid, solid hockey guy.
Thank you.
You bet.
So what did we learn? That John Tortorella thinks the city of Las Vegas is too hot. No, we learned much more than that. If you've been paying attention over the past year plus that John Tortorella has been the head coach of this team, you've learned a lot about this guy. I know I have, and I know I talk about it on this show all the time. The conversations that I get to have with him on this show during the regular season, I look forward to that 5 minutes a day on a game day when I get the chance to just catch up with him and just talk. And it can be, you know this, it can be about hockey, it can be about anything. He mentioned that a head coach is like a guidance counselor. Remember a couple of months ago, he and I had this big, long talk about how guidance counselors and teachers are underpaid, and he said that his daughter's a teacher, so he could go for days on that. But he's right. He's absolutely right. It's about pointing them in the right direction. It's about giving them the information. Now, I have some more that I'm going to talk about with John Tortorella winning this award later on in my opinion segment. Yes, I'm going to have an opinion segment before it's all said and done. But right now, I just want to keep it tight with what happened last night. So John Tortorella, again, well-deserved. An award that is voted on by the broadcasters in the NHL. And he made the comment on stage that if it was for all of the media, he might not have won it. I believe he's right. He probably wouldn't have won it. Just because there's just too many. There's a lot of, a lot of Canadian media. Maybe he wouldn't have gotten it there. Probably not pulling a lot of votes from Vancouver, you know, and he said that he admitted to that. That's where he made mistakes. But anyway, the bottom line is when they say your vote counts, my vote counted. I know my vote counted because he was at the top of my ballot. He was at the top of a lot of people's ballots. He got 39 first place votes. They were all well-deserved. I'm very sure that it was my vote, however, that put him over the top and got him the win. There's no doubt in my mind that that was the one that made the difference. And I'll tell him that as soon as I see him. So John Tortorella, the winner of the Jack Adams Award last night. Then we moved on a little bit later in the show. The Vezina Trophy was presented, and Sergei Bobrovsky going up, again, against stiff competition, Braden Holtby and Carey Price. And Holtby, to me, was the only guy that had a legitimate chance. Nothing against Carey Price, but it was Holtby, Bobrovsky down the stretch. And Sergei was able to hold him off and got the award for the second time in his career, second time in 5 years, as a matter of fact, which is a huge accomplishment in its own right. But he wins that award, and I couldn't be happier for this guy. Not only am I happy for him winning the award and getting the recognition that he deserves for the regular season that he had, but I got to tell you something. When he came up out of the stands and got onto that stage and spoke very eloquently for a guy that just a couple of years ago wouldn't do interviews in front of a camera, and you could barely get him to do an interview with a microphone in close proximity. But he has grown. He's grown as a player, but he has grown as a person. He has matured in many different ways. He understands his role on this team. He understands that he is going to be on that stage time and time again. He is going to be representing this franchise. He's going to be representing this city. He has embraced that. He has worked as hard off the ice, in my opinion, to become the person that can communicate and give that speech. He's worked just as hard doing that as he has worked on the ice. And on both sides, it has shown how much it's paid dividends. So I was really proud of him for that. And then afterwards, he sat down and talked about winning the Vezina Trophy. I guess before I even get into that, I should also say he was up for the Hart Trophy, which I mentioned earlier, as the league MVP. He didn't win that one. That went to Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers, which I was surprised that Sidney Crosby didn't win it. I really am. Very surprised, but it seems like the Connor McDavid train is gaining speed here as far as becoming the next face of the NHL. But Sergei didn't win that award, and he talks about that in his post-game comments. That's why I figured I might as well mention it, right? Because you're about to hear it, so I might as well mention that he didn't win that, although he should be extremely proud that he was in that trio of players left at the very end to have a chance to get that award last night. Here's Sergei Bobrovsky.
Can you compare this one to the first one? Is there a way to compare two Vezina trophies?
Yeah, it's definitely different. So it's at first you not really understand what's happening and so on. And this one, it's like you get more older, you get more mature, and you more appreciate those moments in your life. And yeah, it feels special, especially that the leagues, the goalies gets better. There is lots of great goaltenders in this league, and that fact makes it more special.
What went so right for you this year? Why were you in the zone? Why did things just feel so right? And could you put together a career season like that?
I would say to have some success, there is so many things should come together. You have to be healthy at first. You need a good team in front of you, because without team it's nothing. And you have to have the right direction in your training and your recovery and your thinking. So I'm fortunate that I have a great family. My wife support me a lot. My parents support me a lot. And I also have some other friends from Austria who helps me, and friends from Finland, Sami, Hanu. So they help me a lot to be in the right way, in the right mood, I would say. So it's lots of things comes together, and it's that makes very unique those moments.
Are you a different goalie than you were when you won the Vezina the first time?
Yeah, I was younger, of course. It's for the goalie, it's all mental. And so those things are really important when you went younger or more older.
You may not have won the Hart Trophy, but how special was it for you that you're still nominated for that?
Yeah, it's great. It speaks by itself, you know, to be on the same line with the two best players in the world. So it speaks itself.
Carey Price actually said the other day, you know, your season was just as good as his when he won both awards. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, Carey is a great goalie. So he's one of the best in the game for a long time. And so it's great to hear those words from him.
Is this a team award? A lot of goaltenders will say that Vezina is not, it's the goalie wins the award, but it's very much as a tribute as well to everybody in front of him.
Definitely, yeah. It's all team award. As I said yesterday, that it's all my teammates. They sacrifice their body. They block lots of shots. They help me a lot. And it's a huge piece that I'm here.
At some point, do you take your defensemen out for a dinner after they put in a particularly tough night? Do you anywhere during the season take care of your defense?
I just give them a laugh sometimes with nice save too.
I apologize if you've answered this before, but you've talked about, you know, having kind of some confidence issues. What did you do to work through that? And then does this award show that all of your hard work has paid off?
As I said before, so the organization helped me a lot. So I really appreciate for the opportunity, for the trust what they have in me. So especially with last 3 years, I went through injuries, went through ups and downs, and so I'm really appreciate them for trust and gave me a chance to believe in me. And also I had the right people around me. My family supports me a lot, and my friends from Austria and Finland.
Family and friends, you can't get through life without them. That is Sergei Bobrovsky, top goaltender in the NHL this past season, winning his second Vezina trophy in the last 5 years. Sergei was also named as a first-team All-Star, postseason All-Star. Zach Werenski was named to the All-Rookie team of the NHL as well. So that's how the night capped off, a great awards night from Las Vegas. The only downside was the NHL expansion draft, where the Vegas Golden Knights were able to pluck one player from each team's roster. Now, the Blue Jackets had some very notable unprotected players on their list, Josh Anderson being one of them, Jonas Korpisalo being another one, Jack Johnson being one, Matt Calvert and William Karlsson, all of those standouts. There were a lot of other names, many guys that played in the American Hockey League this year, or in the case of Sam Gagner, he is an unrestricted free agent. So I'm not putting him in that group of guys that definitely would be part of the mix here. But there were ways to protect players, and then there were deals to be made with the Vegas Golden Knights to protect players that weren't on your protected list, if you will. And that's the route that the Blue Jackets took. The Vegas Golden Knights selected William Karlsson. Blue Jackets lose the young centerman who has played a terrific role and a growing role in the last couple of years. You know, Bill never got to the offensive numbers that he wanted to with the Blue Jackets. But when you talk about a guy playing a two-way game, and especially a smart defensive game from the center position, that was the guy. I mean, he really did that extremely well. John Tortorella is going to miss him in his lineup. There's no doubt about it. He is totally going to miss him. Now, not only do the Golden Knights get William Karlsson, but then the Blue Jackets, as I said, because they were looking to protect some of their other assets, they made a trade. Now, when I read this to you, it sounds like they gave up a lot. But to me, they gave up what they needed to give up based on the asking prices and, you know, just what the climate was to make a deal in this expansion period. They send David Clarkson's contract to Vegas. That is huge because that is money that, yes, the Blue Jackets can take it off their salary cap once the season starts because he has a long-term injury. But there are periods during the summer where that's got to count against the cap, and that leaves you less money to deal with in the way of re-signing your own restricted free agents, signing unrestricted free agents. So to finally get that chunk of money moved out the door is huge. And that finally closes the book on that Nathan Horton contract from years ago, which turned out to be an absolutely terrible deal. There's no way about it. You don't know the guy's going to get hurt and never play again. I understand that, but it turned out to be an albatross around the neck, that contract. And then when Jarmo Kekäläinen was able to deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs and get David Clarkson, well, it looked as though they were at least going to get somebody that could play for the same amount of money. So it wouldn't be such a bad deal. Then David Clarkson comes up injured. He's never going to play in the league again. So you've got the same situation, but now you move that contract out. Why do the Vegas Golden Knights take that contract? Because not only is there a salary cap, but there is a salary floor that you must reach. So that money will help them to boost their payroll. It's a guy that's never going to play and a guy that, you know, they're not going to have to pay, really, for all intents and purposes. But it boosts the number on their salary cap. It gives them a base to bump them up toward that salary floor. So it helps them in that regard. Blue Jackets also sent the first-round draft pick from this year for the draft that will be held tomorrow. That first-round pick was sent to the Vegas Golden Knights, and then a second-round pick in 2019 was sent to Vegas. All of that so that Josh Anderson, Corposalo, and Jack Johnson would remain members of the Blue Jackets. It does stink that you have to lose a guy. It really does. And there were a lot of boos in that room at Bluestone last night when William Karlsson's name was announced. But, you know, Matt Calvert, I love Matt Calvert. He is a heart and soul guy. He would have been, to me, in my opinion, he would have been the easier guy to lose because he plays wing, not center. He's older. He's got a lot of miles on him for the way that he plays with that body and the injuries that he has sustained. And more than likely, all of that is why the Vegas Golden Knights went with William Karlsson. He's a centerman. Those are not easy to come by. He's a smart centerman. He is a very defensive-minded centerman. All of those are great things. And so that's why he is the player that the Blue Jackets lose. How do they end up replacing him in the lineup? Well, that's one of the many questions that will be answered over the course of the next several months. Well, last night when I was talking to some fans, and probably a couple of you that are listening to this right now, I was told how much this podcast is missed on a daily basis. Of course, I said I don't miss it because I get a mental break from it and I get to get away and do some other things, which I enjoy. But I enjoy doing this too. And if this seems today like I'm a little bit rusty at it, yeah, I think I am. I feel a little bit rusty at this. So I hope you've been bearing with me because I've just been getting through it to this point. But I'm really going to get through it right now because the other thing I was told was we miss your opinions. Really? I don't hear that much. Not at home. So you miss my opinions. All right. Well, I do have some opinions. And, you know, it starts off, I was reading an article today, and I try not to read every little thing that comes down the line, but I read this one, and it just drove me over the edge, and I said, you know what, I'm doing CBJ in 30 today, and I'm talking about this article, and it's just, it drove me to do this today. It really did. And it's from Yahoo Sports. When I was flipping through Twitter earlier today, I saw that it was tweeted about the best and worst of the 2017 NHL Awards show. And this is written by Ryan Lambert. And I do not know Ryan Lambert, and I am going to make absolutely no effort to ever find out who he is or to meet Ryan Lambert. I'll tell you that. It's because of this. So he's breaking down the NHL Awards show. And listen, it's gotten better. It really has. I don't think it's a fantastic show. I mean, it's not the Grammys. It's, it's not anything like that. But it has gotten better. I think that they've kind of fixed some of the mistakes that they've made in the past. And it's getting better. It's getting better. It is. A couple of years ago, I had to go, do I want to continue to watch this or not? But I don't feel like that anymore, okay? Of course, there were a lot of reasons for me to watch it last night besides who was hosting and what kind of skits they decided to do and who was playing the music, to be honest with you. However, so he does this article, the best and worst of the awards show, and he goes through and gives five of the best things that happened, like the host and the good music and the expansion draft, those things. But then when he gets to the worst and the five worst things, now, you know, some of them, okay, some of them I'll give you. Like the fact that they did this little spoof where they put players' pictures on fake magazine covers and tried to make it funny. And it was okay, but it wasn't great. They could have certainly done without doing that. But the number one worst thing, in the opinion of this writer, was John Tortorella winning the Jack Adams Award. And I saw that, and I said, how of everything there, how can this be the worst thing? And I'm going to read from this article. And this is what it says. Again, Ryan Lambert is the guy's name. It's at Yahoo Sports. And he says that Torts winning is the number one worst thing of the show. And it says, this is so dumb. John Tortorella is absolutely one of the absolute worst coaches in the league, and the only reason he is considered the best coach in the league this year is a power play that shot 30% for half the season and a Vezina winning goalie. So I'm reading this, and I just can't believe that I'm reading it, to be honest with you. And then it goes on and says, and I guess the consolation I or anyone else who's understandably incredulous at this pick can take from this is that apart from Barry Trotz, the previous three winners all got fired in short order. So when Columbus is fumbling along next season and Tortorella is bereft of answers for why, well, at least he's got this award, right? And how do I know for sure he's going to be bereft of answers? In the NHL's Magenta Carpet Show, he told Kevin Weeks that he thinks the key to coaching in this league, and I swear to God he said this, is going away from X's and O's and more toward compete level and mental toughness. Yeah. I totally agree with John Tortorella on that. I completely 100% agree. Let me tell you something. That doesn't mean that he doesn't teach. That doesn't mean that he doesn't go over any X's and O's whatsoever there, Ryan Lambert, who wrote this article at Yahoo Sports. That's not what that means. It means by the time you get to the National Hockey League, you know many of the X's and O's. Most teams are doing the exact same thing. It's not about what you do, it's about how well you do it. And that's where the mental toughness part of it comes in. And that's why John Tortorella has had success. We have seen coaches here who have just killed the X's and O's and didn't know how to talk to a player, didn't know how to push the buttons on specific players, didn't know how to take player A and get the best out of him and take player B, who was the exact opposite of player A, and get the best out of him. And that's exactly what John Tortorella has been able to do since his arrival here. Does everybody like it? No, they don't. They don't have to like it. They just have to adhere to it. That's all. So to say that he is going to be fired, and first of all, let's remember, going into the season, the odds were that he was going to be the first coach fired. And instead, he's the coach of the year. So that just tells you what these guys know before they even start. They know nothing. They're not here on a daily basis. They don't know. They've gone to YouTube. They've watched the clips. Who knows if this guy's ever stood in the scrum with John Tortorella? I have no idea. I would say no based on what he has written here. He's never had a close encounter with John Tortorella. Maybe if he did, it was a bad one. I don't know. But I'm telling you, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. John Tortorella is the right guy for the job with the Columbus Blue Jackets, and these people can just deal with it or don't deal with it. I don't care. But it just made me, it boiled my blood, in case you can't tell. And yes, I feel that I have a good relationship with John Tortorella. But I can tell you from being there every day, watching him go about his business, just like he says about his players, watching what he does, watching the way that he not only breaks down a player, but how he gets to that player. And again, sometimes it's in a very non-desirable way for a player. I'm sure it is. Nobody wants to hear that they're not doing things right. Nobody wants to hear that they're not tough enough. Nobody wants to hear that they're not trying hard enough. But you know what? Sometimes that's exactly what you have to hear. You know why this team was able to turn around so quickly this year, besides the players that they added from Cleveland and upping the talent level and Bobrovsky playing very well and the defense being downright superb? I mean, those things factor in. But I think when the players got that letter in the summer last year telling them they had better be ready for the training camp, when he came in to coach this team in November of the previous season, there was talk about a Tortorella training camp. When we got to March last year, the talk of his training camp that was upcoming in the fall was rampant. Tell me that didn't make a difference. Tell me that the mental toughness didn't just start with that threat, because I'll tell you you're wrong if you say that's not the case. It is about getting into their minds. They say it in Slapshot, right? The Hanson brothers say it. They say it with a expletive, but, you know, they say you got them in the mind. If you believe you can do something, you'll do it. If you don't think you can do it, you won't do it. You just absolutely won't. You can't. Your mind won't let you. Your mind won't let your body do it. And John Tortorella understands that. So he's still going to teach. See, that's what another thing about this article that drives me crazy is, because he has gone through, even this year, saying there's more that we can teach. And he does teach. And he is teaching when he needs to. He's teaching positioning on the ice and all the X's and O's kind of stuff. But none of that crap matters if you don't think the game. If you can't think the game, and if you aren't tough enough to get through every bad situation that you're going to face, I don't care what you know about the X's and O's, because you're never going to execute it. At least never execute it properly. And he knows that. Here's something that pretty much sums it all up. Dale Weiss played for John Tortorella with the New York Rangers. Didn't have a great experience. Then with the Vancouver Canucks. Didn't have a great experience. Was in and out of the lineup. Didn't feel he was getting a fair shake. Once he got traded to Montreal, he breathed a sigh of relief. He felt like he finally got a good deal and he was being treated properly. So he was not a Tortorella fan by any stretch of the imagination. But guess what he tweeted last night? Never thought I'd say this, but I'm happy for Torts. Well-deserved and great motivator. You see, John Tortorella is one of those guys that you may hate him, but at some point in your life, you will turn around and say, man, that guy really cared about me. That guy really helped me. And that guy is the reason that I am a better player today than I was before. So eventually people figure it out. and that's all I've got to say about it. I've just spent like a whole bunch of time on this article at Yahoo Sports. Again, Ryan Lambert was a writer. I'll probably never read his stuff again. And he'll probably get a whole ton of readership because of So once again, I've spent way too much time on this. And I probably won't read Ryan Lambert's stuff again at Yahoo Sports. He'll probably pick up a whole bunch of readers because I talked about him so much. So congratulations to you, but it's not going to be me because I just can't read a guy that writes the sentence that says John Tortorella is absolutely one of the absolute worst coaches in the league. Just the grammar of that sentence is enough to turn me off besides the rest of the story itself. Tomorrow night, we've got the NHL draft. Blue Jackets don't have a pick until the third round. That'll be on Saturday. Now, that's not to say that Jarmo Kekäläinen won't do some wheeling and dealing and find a way to get into that first round. I'm not saying he will, but I'm not saying that he won't either because he has a knack for that kind of stuff. I remember a couple of years ago, we were in Florida, and we were on our way out of the building as there were 27 picks done and only three left, and all of a sudden the Blue Jackets were making a deal at number 29 to get Gabriel Carlson. And it was, whoop, right back to work. Let's go cover this. So you can never think that you know what Jarmo is up to. That was when it really hit me. Don't underestimate this guy, ever. So I'm not going to underestimate him, but I'm not going to be surprised if he doesn't have a pick tomorrow either. This is a good year not to... This is a good year for the expansions, what I'm trying to say. There are many reasons that it was not a good year for it, and there are some reasons there that it is a good year for it. If it had been last year, you wouldn't have had to protect a Josh Anderson or a Jonas Korpisalo. This year you had to protect them. Okay, I get it. But if you're going to give up a first-round pick, why not have it be the number 24 pick overall? Not the number 8, not the number 3, not the number 14, 24th overall in what is considered to be a weak draft. So they could afford to do that. They don't have a second-round pick because they had to send it to Vancouver after they signed John Tortorella. They've chosen to do that this year. So they don't have a first-round pick. They don't have a second-round pick. But again, Jarmo has a way of finding a way to get something. If he does, it will not surprise me in the least. And then beyond this, development camp will start next week. We'll have the young prospects in to skate for a couple of days, Monday through Thursday. And then free agency is on July 1st. So it's going to be another good couple of weeks before everything dies down and goes dark for the rest of the summer so that all the management people can take their vacations. And I really think that's what it is. They want to go to their cottage on the lake somewhere, and they can't do it if they're wheeling and dealing. So we shall wait and see what happens. Tomorrow night, Jody Shelley, Jeff Rimmer, Bill Davich, and I will be at the R Bar. And we're going to be there from 7 to 9, and we're going to be doing a show for you. And you can catch that show streamed on the Blue Jackets app and at BlueJackets.com. You can hear it on the radio on 1460 ESPN. That's on your AM dial. It's not even a dial anymore, is it? Now, why do I say that? Because that's how old I am. It's not a dial. On your AM radio, 1460 ESPN is where you can find us. So we'll do that show. We're going to talk about all of these things. We'll talk about much more and get you ready for what? Development camp and maybe speculate on some of the other stuff that could happen. We'll have the schedule by then so we can talk about the schedule. We'll find something good to talk about. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. It's at the R Bar right across the street from Nationwide Arena. Not even the street. It's right there. Walk to it. Park at the arena and walk up to the R Bar. We'll be there 7 to 9. Hope that you can join us. Now, at the outset of the show, I told you it is now being brought to you by Telhio Credit Union. And by the fall, we're going to have this all dressed up real nice for you. But right now, I want to tell you that great things can happen when you challenge the norm. And at Telhio Credit Union, they believe banking is a tool for good. They believe your money should help to finance your neighbor's house or build a local business. And imagine what we could accomplish together if everyone banked this way. Ready to challenge the norm? Then talk to them before your next big purchase, car loan, or mortgage. Join Telhio and learn to believe in banking again. Start at telhio.org. Telhio is open to everyone in central and southwestern Ohio. Equal housing lender, federally insured by NCUA. So once again, tomorrow at the R Bar, 7 to 9, Jody Shelley, Jeff Rimmer, Bill Davich will join me. We'll be on 1460 ESPN Radio. We'll be on the Blue Jackets app. We'll be at BlueJackets.com with live streaming as the NHL has its entry-level draft live from the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois. Until then, this is Bob McElligott saying so long.